And so, saints, there is a word from the Lord this morning. God said he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. And nor does he leave us out here in the wilderness without being able to hear from him. And I know sometimes we look and we wonder, how much more, Lord, am I going to be able to deal with? You led me through the storms, through the rain, physical issues with my body, and yet I'm still here. And so, Lord, because you have left us here, it is your word that sustains us, Lord. It is your word that leads us, that guides us, that takes us, Heavenly Father, from place to place. And so we ask that you rise to your feet at this time to receive our speaker for the morning. Always an honor and a pleasure to introduce this young lady. Reverend Priscilla Price, as she comes in her own way this morning, saints.
Good morning, Pilgrim Branch.
Good morning.
You know, I feel so honored to have the opportunity to speak to you this morning. I feel like my pastor this morning. I understand how he felt. He wanted to be here. He wanted to preach God's word. When God give you a word, all you want to do is tell somebody else about a God who loves us, a God that is there for us, a God who makes a way for us out of no way. And I'm just so grateful and so thankful this morning. I'm going to ask you to have your seats because this is going to be a different direction this morning. However, God is going to let it come. I've already put it in his hand, so he will do what he will with this message.
Amen.
My Heavenly Father, Lord God,
thank you.
I want to take the opportunity to thank you, Lord, because, Father, you are a great God.
Yes,
you're an awesome God, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for your many, many blessings, Lord God. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for choosing us. Now, Father, I ask that you please, Father God, move me out of the way. Because, Father, I don't know anything. I'm just a tool, Lord, to be used. And I just ask that you use me, Lord, until you use me up. Use my mouth, Lord, to speak for you, Father. Use my hands to raise up holy hands. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. And I love you from the bottom of my heart. And, Father, I just say thank you.
Thank you.
In your son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. And when I began to do this study, and the scripture this is going to come from, and I want you to go to these scriptures, but we're going to go to them a little bit later because God has already told me to give you the whole story, not just a part of it. He wants you to have the whole story. But we're going to start with Numbers chapter 13 and verse 32 to 33. And then we're going to go to Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 through verse 4. And there's some other scriptures that will be given as we go through this passage. Okay, the first set of scriptures is Numbers chapter 13, verse 32 through 33. And then Numbers 14, verses 1 through 4. And we'll have some other scriptures that I will give you as we go through the process. Now, as we know, God is a God of promises. God is a God of reward. God is a God of judgment. God is a God of peace. He's also a God of war. So as I began to study this passage, God began to take me on this journey. He began to take me down this path that I could see the whole spectrum of where God is coming from. So he said, start at the beginning. So I'm going to start with the beginning. And this is the beginning of this story. There was a baby named Moses. And Moses was born in Egypt. Although he was Hebrew, he was raised as an Egyptian. But he was also raised as a Hebrew. Now, why do you ask, was he raised as a Hebrew? Because his mother was Hebrew, and his mother was hired to be his nurse. So she taught him in the ways, that the Hebrew ways. And he also learned from his adopted mother the ways of the Egyptian. So he is well equipped and well-rounded for this mission that God has set him aside to do. So walk with me, if you will, down this path as we travel it and travel this road. Because God has set aside a man for a purpose, for a mission. And when God sets someone aside, he has already equipped you what you need to do the work. So now, as we look at this passage, if we look at Moses and Moses' role, Moses was called to the role that God called him to. And Moses began to tell God, I'm not good enough. I can't speak good enough. I can't do it. Anyone that is truly called by God has experienced that same situation. You don't want to fail God. You don't want to feel like that you're not qualified. But I'm so thankful that I serve a God that can qualify you for what it is he needs you to do. So when God qualified Moses and he told me, he said, I got you. He said, I'm going to send your brother Aaron with you. And Aaron's going to be your mouthpiece. So this is how the journey began. Moses and Aaron set out, and they went to talk to Pharaoh. Moses went to Pharaoh 3 times, and he asked Pharaoh. He said, God said to let his people go. Pharaoh refused because he's being the king. He's the head honcho. You don't tell me what to do. I am king. So what God did was he allowed Pharaoh to make one more pledge. And that plague that was coming upon Egypt was spoken by the lips of Pharaoh. So now Pharaoh has spoken this plague. And the plague that it is that the firstborn of every family would be killed. So now Pharaoh spoke this and God put it into action. So what happened was, is that God decided that he was going to send the death angel. But God even had a plan for that. So God had Moses to tell the children of Israel, paint the doorposts with the blood of the lamb. When the death angel comes by, he's going to pass this house over. So all through the city that night, you heard wailing and crying and weeping and screaming because the death angel was doing what God sent him to do. And I want you to hear this. When God puts you on a path and puts you on a mission, can nobody stop that path? Can nobody stop that mission? You got to do what God has given you to do. So the death angel came and he took him. So here we are now in a setting where Moses and Pharaoh said, take him. Take him out. Go. He let him go. So here we are now in this situation that Pharaoh was kind of okay with that. But then here come the evil one. Here come the evil one disguised as his wife. And she's telling him, you're king. And you got to let him get away with that? You're king. So Pharaoh, letting the evil one, who we know is Satan, begin to talk to him and tell him to go on another path. So what he began to do is, he began to gather his soldiers and he began to go after the Israelites. Okay. Now, as they left Egypt, God did some things. He prepared a cloud for them to travel by day. And he prepared a pillar of fire for them to travel by night. What a God. They were not exposed to any elements. They were not exposed to the environment. God had them covered and he had them protected. But as they continued to go on this journey, something began to happen. The evil one began to creep in among the people. The evil one began to tell them that this is not what you want to do. But let me tell you how the evil one got there. See, everybody that was in Egypt and who was an Israelite did not want to leave Egypt. But Pharaoh said, you all got to go. Take them out. So that meant those that didn't really want to go, and the reason they didn't want to go is because they had riches. They had everything they needed. They had slaves. They owned slaves. There were Israelites who owned slaves themselves. So I'm living a good life. I don't want to leave from this place to go someplace that I don't know about. So they begin to stir up the people and grumble about what was going on. God wasn't pleased with that. But God continued down the path. He let them grumble. He let them mumble. And he heard them. But he continued down the path. And then what God did, he began to feed them with manna from heaven. He rained down the manna from heaven to feed the Israelites. And then what he did, he had Moses to strike the rock. And they had fresh water coming up out of the rock that they could feed themselves and feed their water themselves and water their animals. But even that wasn't good enough. So what God did was he allowed, they started grumbling and said, we're tired of this manna. So God allowed them to have meat. He gave them so much meat that they could choke on it. He rained down the meat to the people. They still wasn't happy with it. They still mumbling. They still grumbling. But let me tell you what God did. He allowed them to keep on moving. To keep on moving. Now we're at the place where we're at the Red Sea. We're at the Red Sea. The sea is before the Israelites. Pharaoh's army is behind them. They begin to cry out and mumble again. How could you not see that the God that you serve has already made a way for you? He's already brought you thus far. What makes you think he's going to leave you at this point? But they mumbled and they grumbled. But this is what God did. He allowed the Red Sea to be parted. The water was standing so high and so tall. But the Israelites passed through on dry land. And as they passed through on dry land, the Egyptians were still coming. Now, my mindset, it's no way I'm going to see towers of water standing there. I'm going to say this is something miraculous or something is not right. But what they did was they let the evil one convince them to follow after. So they followed. And what happened? God shut the water down, and Pharaoh's whole army was drowned. They were drowned in the Red Sea. See, you can't play with God. When God has a plan and a direction for your life, you better stay on the path. So after they left the Red Sea, they wind up at Mount Sinai. Moses took leave, and I can just see him being happy that they made it that far. He went up to the mountains to receive what? To receive the Ten Commandments. God is up there talking to Moses. He heard the rumbling in the camp. What had happened was the evil one shows up again. Let us make a golden calf so he can go before us. Let us make this calf that we can worship him. So what Aaron does is Aaron makes the calf. And I'm just assuming in my mind, Aaron being a man of God, he probably didn't think they were going to do what they did. But what the people began to do, they began to say the first thing that God told them not to do was to serve an idol God. They begin to dance. They begin to worship. They begin to sing. They begin to pray. They begin to do all the things that they learned in Egypt that God told them not to do. And they begin to do it. So this upsets God because now you have broken the first law. Hadn't even been hot off the press yet, but you broke the first law. So as they begin to go to this Mount Sinai and Moses come down from that mountain, and because God told him, he said, the people are sinning. Go down, go down. So Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, got the tablets in his hand, and all he could do when he saw what he saw was to throw it on the ground, and the tablets broke. Moses spoke one or two words. He said, those that are for God, come on this side. God is a just God. He gave him an opportunity to get it right. But instead of getting it right, what we did was listen to the evil one. So now those that were on the other side that did not come over on God's side, they wanted to go back to Egypt anyway. So they said, okay, well, we're just going to go on back to Egypt and let them go on where they're going. That was not God's plan. Because they denounced God, because they did not accept him, because they rejected him, God did something else. He opened up the earth and he swallowed them up. There was no evidence that those people were ever there because he swallowed them up within the earth. Can you imagine? You had the opportunity to get it right, but you decided to do your thing. You decided to do your way. You didn't ask God, God, what shall I do? You didn't ask God to forgive me for what I did. You didn't ask God to help you to make the right decision. You're going to do what you want to do. And when you do what you want to do, you're leaning to your own understanding. God is not happy with our understanding because we do not know the mind of God. And when God set a plan in place, he's already got it worked out. He don't need your help. He don't need your help to build a sanctuary. He don't need your approval to go forward. He don't need you for that. He going to do what he's going to do. The question that you need to ask yourself, whose side are you on? Are you on the side of the evil one or are you on God's side? Me and myself, I'm on God's side because I know who God is. After God has showed them all the things that he had done around them, how could you not believe that this is a God of all gods? Right. You're going to bow down to a golden calf that cannot speak, cannot hear, cannot see, cannot form any miracles, but you're going to bow down to that calf. See, that's how the evil one would get you. He would trap you. Think about those that were out there that denounced God, that did not accept him. Satan got his fill. He robbed them of what God had set aside for them. Because when they rejected God, the only place left for them to go was to hell. So when the ground when the earth swallowed them up, that was their destination. Be careful how you entertain God. Be careful when you don't listen to what God say. Be careful, because you can find yourself in a situation that you did not want to be in. God is not playing with us. He's not playing church. He's not playing religion. He's not playing. God is real about what he says. And when he tells us to do something, he means for us to do it. It's not for me to question when the pastor say it's time to move. It's time to build. That is not my role. God didn't tell me that. My job is to follow. My job is to follow what God is saying. And when you follow what God is saying, then you're going to receive the reward. When you don't follow what God is saying, you are not going to receive the reward. So we need to understand God is not fooled. And he's not playing. He's not playing with us. You know, we walk around here and we put ownership on everything. That's our church. Somewhere in the scriptures I read that the church belongs to God. Somewhere in the scriptures I read that we are the bride of Christ. So how can it belong to me when it's already been given to Jesus? We got to be careful how we think and how we act and what we do. Now, let's go on down here to chapter 13. So after the Mount Sinai situation, Moses called, God called Moses and told Moses, he said, Moses, I want you to send some spies into the land. I want them to go out there, and I want them to make a report. So they went out there. They went out into the land. They were out there for 40 days researching the land, and they came back. Let's look at what happens after that. When we go to Reverend Deacon Price, read verse 32 to 33.
Yes, ma'am. Numbers 13, verses 32 through 33. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight.
Thank you, Reverend Dr. Pray. Now look at this. It said an evil report in my scriptures. So what they did was they brought back an evil report. They told the people that the land, they could not possess it. They told the people that the land didn't have all the things that God had promised. But what happened was they failed to tell the people about the gigantic grapes. They didn't tell them about the pomegranate. They didn't tell them about the land and the beauty of it and all this and the milk and the honey flowing like God said. They didn't tell them that. See, that's how Satan is. Satan will deceive you to do what he would have you to do. He would deceive you to do his bidding. And this is what happened here. Instead of standing strong and trusting God and say, God has brought us this far and he didn't bring us this far to leave us, they're going to turn and run because they had some obstacles. They had some obstacles, and the obstacles was the giants that they saw in the land. God then defeated all this other stuff, brought them through all kind of situations, but they didn't trust God enough to know that he could bring them through this. There are some consequences when you don't trust God. There are some consequences when you don't listen. There are some consequences. And then we go down to verse chapter 14. 14 and verse 1 through 4. Can you read that, Reverend Dr. Price?
Yes, ma'am. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if we had only died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it have not been better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select the leader and return to Egypt.
Thank you, Reverend Dr. Price. Everything you see here, they're complaining against Moses and Aaron. In essence, they're complaining and mumbling against who? God. Because these were God's chosen men that he sent to take on this project. And the people began to murmur against it. And then they even had the nerve to say, we need to go back to Egypt. Why would you want to go back to Egypt when they were killing you? You didn't own nothing. You were a slave. You know, they were killing the babies. They did all that. But you want to go back. But see, that's how we are. Instead of moving forward, we want to go back to what we're familiar with. Familiarity can get you into all kind of trouble. You going back to something that you're familiar with, but it's not what God intended for you to have. But you're going to let Satan steal from you what God have for you because you're a coward. And that's just it in a nutshell, because you're not willing to fight and stand up for what God has promised you and has told you. God is not a liar. And when God told you this is what's going to happen, we should know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen just like he said it is. No, regardless of what you think, regardless of how you feel, regardless, if God has set it in place, it's going to come about. And the best thing we can do is get on board. Better than that, start praying for yourself. Stop letting people tell you what to think. Start praying and asking God, God, what shall I do? What do you have me to do? And God will answer you. He will tell you what to do. And you don't have to rely on anybody else. God don't make no mistakes. And then it tells us here, and wherefore, in verse 3, it says, and wherefore has the Lord brought now? See, they made a mistake here. See, they mumbled against Moses and Aaron. Now they talking against God. Do you see that? You see how Satan will set you up? He'll set you up for failure. Who in their right mind gonna talk about God? So anyway, it says, now they talking about God, that the Lord brought us up out unto this land to fall by the sword. If that was the case, he had left them in Egypt because they were falling by the sword day by day. That our wives and our children should be a prey, were it not better for us to return into Egypt. Who want to go back to Egypt? I don't. Verse 8 tells us here, it says, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which flows with milk and honey. God always have a witness. He always have somebody to stand up for what is right. The other spies said that the land was uninhabited for them. But somebody stood up and said, no, that's a lie. We can possess this land. We can own this land. God is not going to leave us. If they would have trusted that and believed that, they would have entered into the promised land. A journey that should have taken 11 days, took them 40 years. Now, where does the 40 years come from? When the spies went out to check the land, they went out for 40 days. So what God did was he added a year for each day that the spies went out. And then what God said, when the people began to mumble against him, if you read on down to these other verses here, starting verse 10 and 11, what he did was God was so upset with them, and began to have a conversation with Moses. And he told Moses, he said, how long must I endure this? How long must I deal with these people? They're disobedient. They don't listen. They're not following my instructions. They're doing what they want to do. They're all over the place. He said, how long must I endure it? Well, I want to let you know this. God is long-suffering. All right. But God is also a God of order. Yes. And when he puts something in place, he expected to go just that way. So this is what God said. He said, okay, they're not listening to me. They're not doing what I said. I'm going to wipe them all out. And you know when God said that, he could have did just that. But God was speaking to Moses, and Moses didn't say a word. He waited for God to finish speaking. And then Moses, the same Moses that the people persecuted and the people talked about and grumbled again, stood in the gap for him, pleading to God, saying, God, no, if you do this, what are the Egyptians going to say? What are they going to say about you bringing them out and killing them all out here in the wilderness? He said, what about history? It's going to follow you from now on. So God took a moment, and he thought about it. So he said, okay, I know what I'm going to do. He said, any one of them that is 20 and above will roam in this wilderness for 40 years, and they will not enter the promised land. See how they let Satan come in and steal from them what God had already promised them. But then God said something else. He said, but now those that are 19 and under, he said, I'm going to give the land to them, and they're going to be my people. He gave it to them. He turned it over to them. Because, see, the children were innocent, and he had somebody set aside to teach the children his way. God is not playing with us. I want you to know he's not playing. When he says something, it's going to happen that way. So be mindful of what you say. Be mindful how you grumble against God's plan. Be mindful, because God is a just God. But God is also a God of wrath. And we need to remember that. We want to look at the good side of God, but we don't want to look at that side when we're being disobedient. But see, God don't forget anything. And when we're going through our lives and we're being disobedient to God, he has already got it written down. And he's going to take it for so long. And then he's going to say, your time is up. Your time is up. Now, who you going to serve? Me or that other one? Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. At this time, the doors of the church is open.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."